The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Do you ever feel like you're barely keeping it together? The slightest bump and it all comes crashing down?
So if you think mentally about how many plates you have, and you're running around every day trying to go from one plate to the next, to the next, to the next to keep them spinning, is it any wonder that we start feeling overwhelmed? And he has a plan to help us find victory instead of stressing ourselves out.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Tammy Trent with me as always.
Hello.
Great to see you. How are you doing?
Are
you feeling pretty good? You're calm? How's life?
Life is good right now, yep. But I will always have many questions when I'm feeling overwhelmed, when I'm feeling out of control, when
yes,
I'm feeling stressed out, which happens often to me, but right now I'm feeling good.
Good. Okay. Well, I don't know how you're doing, but if you're feeling a little overwhelmed, as Tammy said, maybe a little stressed, I would invite you to stick around for just a few minutes because our guest, Barb Roos, is going to give you some godly truth that I think will help you. Now, you may know Barb. She has the Bold, Brave, and Beautiful podcast. She's a contributor on lots of Christian websites, speaks at women's conferences, has ministered up at her church, Cedar Creek, up in the Northwest Ohio area for many years. And we are thrilled to have her. We're going to talk about her new book, Stronger Than Stress. Barb, welcome to Life Today. Great to have you.
I am excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Hopefully this is not a stressful situation for you.
It is not. This is a joyous situation.
This is an interesting thing. I mean, a lot of people since COVID especially have written about this topic, but this goes way back for you.
It does. The idea of stress, I mean, we live in this world,
sure.
And so stress, I didn't have to like kind of figure that out. It just showed up. But the idea behind the book is what God wants more for us than from us. Mm. And when we look at stress in this place where we feel overwhelmed all the time, what does God want for us? Because so many things in life are taking from us.
Yes.
And so the passion behind the book is to create a space where we actually learn how to do less because the Holy Spirit, we're living by the Holy Spirit more. And that is what I am passionate about teaching people how to do.
You are passionate about it, Barb. And reading your book, you had me all in at chapter one because I felt like I saw myself in your story, pieces of your story. When you got to the place of throwing plates through the window, I literally was like, I think I have been there a time or two in my life. So you had me from the beginning of this book, but I want to ask you about that moment in your life of throwing plates.
I believe that we all have these moments we look back on, and whether we regret them or whether we feel shame, but the question of how did I get here?
Yes.
And the moment in which those plates went through the window, I never saw that moment coming. There were parenting issues. I had struggles at my job, too much anxiety. We had an out of control addiction in our household.
Wow.
Too little time. My to-do list was so long and I was running out of day every single day. And then the stress of it all.
Yeah.
Internally, I was coming apart every day. And so when all of that converged, it was like a match was lit in the moment.
Yes.
And so there was this incident that happened where all of this fear and anxiety, and I melted down and also looked a little bit like Nolan Ryan.
So the interesting thing is, I mean, I think we all have those moments.
Yeah.
I don't like to admit it, you know?
Yeah.
Because what usually follows is guilt, self-condemnation.
Yeah.
We know those aren't from God.
Yeah.
So what do we do when we hit those moments and maybe we're embarrassed, we're starting to pile more? That just makes the stress worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do we confront that in a healthy way?
For me, the healthiest way has been the spiritual journey of recognizing that God is safe. Mm-hmm. And in learning, and I learned about God's safety in looking at the scriptures. And so in the Old Testament, reading when King David in the Psalms was writing about how, God, you are my refuge, and stopping to think, go, we need refuges. Refuges are these protected spaces when there is a battle going on, when it is going down, and that we could come and God would shield us. And then in the New Testament, as we read about Jesus, and Jesus is saying, come to me. When too much is going on, I will show you how to live. And then the Apostle Paul, as he is writing about how there is a God, nothing can separate us from God's love, not life nor death. One of my favorite parts, not our worries for today or our fears tomorrow. So when shame sets in around stress, when we feel like failures, when we're overwhelmed and we just lose it, the space for me I start with is remembering that God is my safe place to run to. And I let the scriptures continuously remind me that he is that safest place to start. He wants more for me. He is not ashamed of me. He is not condemning me. And so I can start just simply with that. God, I know you love me, you care about me, and you are going to get me through this.
I love the picture too. You know, a refuge, a fortress, a strong place is also a place where you go get rearmed.
Yes.
And I think when we don't run there and try to do it on our own, we're basically forfeiting God's weapons against such things.
That's right.
So I love that word. So how do you, when you feel stress in your own life, or you recognize this constant stress in someone else's life, I mean, isn't that a bit of a red flag that maybe something needs to be addressed?
It is. And this is the place where I have a little fancy visual demonstration. When we talk about stress, that is our internal response to whatever is happening around us. So stress is something, on one hand, we think it's a bad thing, but God actually created it as a protective response. It's our inner temperature of being able to say, how am I doing in the world? When our stress rises, often we will condemn or convict ourselves, and it should be an indicator that, we're having a hard time with the world. Yeah. It's not a place of judgment, it's just we're having a hard time with the world. That is our internal response. What is around us is the external that we're struggling with. And so I like to characterize some of what our stress could look like spinning plates. We have these spinning plates in our lives, and this notion that internally in our mental, just in our mental world, there are lots of different types of spinning plates. And so I like to visualize there are like saucers. And so saucers are the plates that spin with our to-do list. And then there's salad plates. These are the plates of the ongoing things that just spin in our lives that just aren't done. Then there are dinner plates. Those are our relationship plates. So these are all your family, your friends, your coworkers. And then I envision the platters. And the platters are the emergencies. You have one platter, it can take out a whole lot. And for all of us, we have all of these spinning plates. And when you and I look at like this, this is one of those kind of fancy gimmicky things, but keeping a plate spinning isn't easy. And what creates overwhelm in our lives is when the plates start to tip or when they start to fall. And so if you think mentally about how many plates you have, and you're running around every day trying to go from one plate to the next, to the next, to the next, to keep them spinning, is it any wonder that we start feeling overwhelmed? And so the question for me when I recognize this acre of spinning plates in my life is, I cannot keep spinning them because they're too much. I don't have enough time. How does God see the situation?
Yeah.
Because we see all of the plates in front of us, but we forget that God sees us and our plates, and he has a plan to help us find victory instead of stressing ourselves out.
How do I start? Where do I start? There's some things that I'm fully aware of, that I react to something. Even now in my life, being widowed, doing things by myself around the house, I can feel overwhelmed when something breaks, when I can't fix it, when I'm not smart enough, when, you know, all those things, when I'm not strong enough. And I can feel overwhelmed and fall to the ground and just say, like, it's enough. It's enough. So for me, if for anybody watching that feels the same, where do we start? Where do we start to find the strategies to turn this plate around?
Yes. So there are two first steps. So like a baby takes step, boom, boom. Step one is we can all do this together and you can join us at home. Take a deep breath and then blow it out. When we take that deep breath, the very first thing it does is it helps to push us out of survival mode. Most of us are living in survival mode, biologically, spiritually, and mentally. So first is that deep breath.
Okay.
Practically, it helps send your heart, your body, the message that you are not in danger. I call them emotional lions. Emotional lions are the things that you and I are afraid of that aren't life-threatening, but that's where most of our stress is at. And the breath reminds us the Holy Spirit, pneuma, breathe. Yeah. So step is first take a deep breath. You can change your stress response by breathing. And so in the book, I actually have a couple of breathing exercises. Step two, breathing, but then we need to build spiritual muscle. And so this is where I talk about the spiritual practices. We don't see that word reflected in scripture. An older term would be spiritual disciplines, but essentially we are human beings, not human doings. Some of our stress, most of our stress is that we are trying to fix what's happening inside of us by doing. And what God is saying is that you are actually a human being. And so we need spiritual muscle training to know how to convert our stress into strength. So once we get the breath down and invite the Holy Spirit, then we can then begin to engage with spiritual practices. And so there are a number of them in the book, but the first one, the foundational one, is surrender. And that chapter is titled after my favorite surrender prayer, God, I can't, but you can.
Amen.
So I will let you.
Yes.
Because most of our problem, again, with stress is we are trying to do it all ourselves.
Yes.
And it is wearing us out.
Yeah.
And Jesus says, I want to teach you, Eugene Peterson's paraphrase in the message of Matthew 11, 27, 28. He says, please come to me and I will teach you the unforced rhythms of grace. He has to teach it to us. We naturally know how to be stressed. We know
yes.
how to run on coffee and adrenaline.
Yes.
That is automatic and natural. We have to be taught how to live in the grace of doing less and allowing the Holy Spirit to do more.
Amen. What's the difference between stress and stressor?
So this is game changing, game changing. So I was at the zoo over the weekend. So stress is our internal response. Stressors are, those are the things around us that cause us to have emotional reactions.
Okay.
For example, so I was at the zoo and I don't mind snakes. For some of you, you see a snake and that's reason to move. How do you feel about snakes?
Girl, I'm screaming, I'm running.
This idea of stress and stressors, we all have stress reactions, but we all react differently to stressors. So the reason why this is important is because we confuse our stress with the people and the relationships with our lives. We often will say, my husband is stressing me out.
Yeah.
My children are stressing me out. Our reaction to our stress is our responsibility. When we make others responsible for our stress, this is how the enemy destroys our relationships.
Okay, let me just, in fairness, what if you have a really lousy husband, or you know, who walks out on you, or what if you have children who maybe they're suffering, you know, an addiction or something. They're bringing it into the home. I mean, that's a stressor. That's a legitimate stress.
Yes.
That is not your own fault.
So that's why we want to make the distinction. In my own family story, addiction was the issue. And I learned firsthand that when the person in my home who was struggling with the addiction, that when I would see them as my source of stress, then what it created a place where I would then blame them for all of my actions. That's what happened to me the day I threw the plates through the window.
Wow.
Because I saw this person who was struggling, and I made them responsible for my reaction. I am responsible for my reactions. Now, that doesn't diminish the bad decisions. It doesn't diminish the hurt, the harm. But when it comes to stress, our reactions are our responsibility. And the good news is that the Holy Spirit living within us gives us the strength to be able to face situations in a way that gives life and hope and peace. And the bottom line for all of this, for all of us is that when we recognize that our stress is our responsibility, then that is where we see that we need God's help. And it also keeps us from wrecking the relationships in our lives, because we are ambassadors of Christ. How can we be ambassadors of Christ when we're blaming people around us for our stress? Our children, we're supposed to raise and nurture our children, and we're like, you guys are stressing me out. And then we're trying to give them the message of Jesus? So keeping those two distinct, and I do want to acknowledge those who are facing significant stressful situations. It's not easy, but we also want to pay attention to how we don't want to blame others for what is our responsibility and our reactions.
Barb, I think you're really striking a nerve, hitting where a lot of people struggle and live. And by the way, if you're struggling in this area, you know, and you're hearing some things and you're going, oh boy, we have a telephone number where someone will just stop, breathe, and pray with you. So call the number on the screen right now. There's always someone there who will pick up and will just walk with you where you're at. And we would also, if you would like Barb's book, we would love to send it to you, because there are 10 spiritual practices, which, by the way, I want to point out that word practice is a biblical word. And it means to like exercising a muscle. It's like do this, and you'll be bad at it first, but you'll get good at it. And I love these, because these are things that you can start to do immediately that will help you grow. It will disciple you and help. I say manage your stress, but really it means to cast your cares upon Him. And that's the ultimate. So we're going to tell you how you can get that. But Barb, I want to say thank you for this, but because this is important. I briefly, because we're running out of time, I want people to get the book. I just think it's important to point out that one of the biggest countermeasures for the stress in our life is cultivating an attitude of gratitude.
Yes.
How big has that been for you?
It is a practice that has brought so much joy to my life and also strength. The scriptures say it is the joy of the Lord that is our strength.
Yes.
Giving thanks to God in everyday things equips me to be grateful to God in all things.
Wow, that's good.
And so on each and every single day, I can wake up and I can see where God is at work. That is the path of being able to keep that bead on where God is at work when it is all falling down and falling apart. So gratitude is, that's actually the last spiritual practice. Surrender is the first, but it is just as essential to us facing a life of overcoming overwhelm, is we see God carrying us through it and we praise Him for it, and it gives us strength to go another day.
Love it. Yeah, okay, there's a situation right now where God is at work, but God can also use you in this situation, a place of, really frankly, great stress for a lot of people. I want you to watch this and pray about getting involved to help meet the needs of others. And when you do, you can request Barb's book, Stronger Than Stress, today, and we would love to send it to you. But most importantly, we want you to be a part of God's work in the lives of some desperate people. Watch this.
For the people of Liberia, each day is a struggle due to the lack of clean drinking water. With limited options, the people are forced to drink water that can bring illness or even death. Yet, there is no other choice but to drink it and live, or sometimes die, with the outcome. Melvin Tan is a father all too well acquainted with the very real consequences of drinking unclean water.
Being here in Liberia and listening to Melvin's story, and he had dreams and hopes for his son. And to go away to work and come home to a son that's gone, and knowing that it was because of the water that he had drank, that there was no other option, it leaves me with, Lord, how can we help?
Together, we can be the answer to Melvin's hopes and prayers. Join us in giving water for life.
I've gone on so many of these trips, and I've always been in that same place that John was at, leaving me in a place of, what can I do to help? I sit here with you today again, and I say, God, what can I do to help today? What do these people need today? I can't imagine how that father must have felt just going away for a few hours and coming back and your son is dead. Because of water, because of what he drank in that small window of time that changed everything for that family. What can I do to help? What can you do to help? What can we do to help? Is there even a solution? Is there anything we can do? Yes, yes, there is. We know a way. We have been doing it for years. We can go in there right now and drill them a well that will last them for 70 years of their life, water for life. We could bring this to them. We could bring them hope. We could bring them life. We could bring them Jesus. And I love that he's given us this opportunity to step in and to be the difference, to make a difference. So if God has blessed you today, I'm going to challenge you to be that answer today for this family and for so many other families around the world right now. Randy, it's something that we get to do together, and I know that it changes lives, so many lives.
It does, and it's so simple. And, you know, that story right there that we saw as a father, it hurts. Mm-hmm. I have four children. And I can't imagine. And you wonder, you know, if you're watching, it's hard to comprehend sometimes the way many people in this world have to live. They drink whatever water they have because it's all that they have. And they may be fine for, you know, years in the case of that one boy that ended up dying. But like that, life is fragile.
Yes.
Something can turn and life is gone. We have the answer. The answer is, as Tammy said, drilling a well, going down deep enough, deeper than they can dig with their own hands, and getting that clean water. An average well costs $4,800. That's based on the 350 wells we drill across 20 nations. If you can provide one, you can prevent others from dying. Many others, in fact. On average, a well will serve about 1,000 people, which is phenomenal. That's 1,000 stories that we won't have to tell of loss. Many of you can give $144 that will provide clean drinking water for 30 people for basically a lifetime, on average 70 years. Maybe you can give $48. It may not sound like a lot, but it's huge, because $48 will give clean drinking water to 10 people. I only wish that we could have given that man's son clean drinking water before it was too late. There are many others that need us to do something now. Will you go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can? Let's tell a story of life, no more stories of death.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, now in its 25th year, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10, and $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you the God's Word for My Day devotional set. These 4 seasonal devotionals each contain a daily reading, an encouraging verse, and a thought to ponder for each day of the year. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the His Word is Life tumbler set. These 2 20-ounce stainless steel tumblers, each inscribed with a scripture, will inspire you throughout the day and help keep your drinks well insulated while at home or on the go. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request our beautiful bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Hope you're going online and giving the best gift you possibly can give. I want to tell you, it will make an enormous impact in the lives of so many people. And for whatever amount, whatever gift you can give today, we want to send you Barb's book. You will love it. Just request it when you make that call and we'll get it right out to you. And I want to just share something, a takeaway that I took away from chapter 1 from Barb's words. And I hope that this ministers to you like it did for me. Feeling overwhelmed is nothing to be ashamed of. Life is often more than we can handle, even for someone who has been walking with Jesus for a really long time. Spiritual maturity doesn't mean that you won't experience overwhelm, but your connection with God keeps you from getting stuck. And I believe He wants us to live a life fulfilled and free from being overwhelmed, out of control, and feeling like we're stuck because we're so stressed out. We want you to be free from that. I want to be free from that in my life. Barb, thank you for today. Thank you for this book. You are a blessing to all of us, and you are a blessing to us. And we hope that this show will encourage you in moving forward in the practices of being free from stress in your life. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time on Life Today.
Bye-bye.
Find Jesus in your hell is so heavenly.
Discovering the joy of dwelling in the presence of Jesus. Johnny Erickson Tada, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.